in light of the closing in the book of Amos, which was really the promised restoration of the future nation of Israel, I think it's appropriate that this afternoon we meditate on the fact that is found in the most famous psalm in the entire Psalter, the Shepherd's Psalm, it's called, written by an actual shepherd himself, David, Psalm 23, that pictures God as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, who provides and who protects his sheep. So Psalm 23, and I just want to take the first phrase out of the third verse for our meditation this afternoon. Psalm 23, verse 3, you may know what it says, right? Yeah. That's it. That's all I want to talk about. He restoreth my soul. And I just want to look at it in three ways. Number one, what is restored? Well, my soul. And then, what is restoreth? What does that mean? And then, who restores? And so we'll look at it from those three angles as we just meditate a few moments on that phrase, he restoreth my soul. Let's pause a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again for your saving power. Thank you that we can become members of your family, your children. And I think of John's words, now are we the children of God. It's not something that we have to wait for. We're now the children of God. And it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, or we will see him as he is. And Lord, with that hope in our heart, let us purify ourselves even as he is pure. And we thank you that you do that purifying. You do that restoring in our lives on an ongoing basis, continually. And may we look to you today as the one that restores our soul. And Lord, may we understand what this means. And may it be just precious truth to our hearts. And may it be something that gets applied and lived out in our lives today and in the days ahead. Thank you that you are that good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. You're that great shepherd that is coming back for his flock one day. And we're looking for you and we're thankful to you that as the shepherd of our soul, you restore it. Lord, now speak and glorify yourself and you alone. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now let's think about that phrase, he restoreth my soul. And I want you to key in on that word soul as we begin. He restoreth my soul. That's what's restored according to this. The Hebrew word soul is the word nephesh. And that particular word, nephesh, is translated by different words in our English version, but it appears over 750 times in the Hebrew Bible. I would say that a key thought for soul, the definition of it, would be the word life. In biblical Hebrew, there is no separation between the body and the soul. When the Bible talks about the soul in the Old Testament, it's a reference to a living, breathing, physical being. In fact, even animals are souls in a different sense, but they're souls because they are living and breathing. So the soul in the Hebrew Bible actually refers to the entire physical being, the entire person. It denotes self. It's translated life often. And it literally means, the word nephesh literally means a throat or a neck, because it's the throat or the neck that is the mechanism of life. It's the throat You breathe through your throat. You eat and you drink through your throat. You remember when God created Adam, the Bible says that he breathed into him the breath of life. And he became a living soul with that breath of life breathed into him. In the Psalms, I think it's 107th and around the 9th verse, the psalmist says that God satisfies the longing soul, that he fills the hungry soul with goodness. And so there is that connection that the soul is connected with breathing, with eating. Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, during those 10 days, those are days of teshuvah. Those are days of repentance, because the Hebrew word shuv means to turn. It means to turn back. It means to return. It means to repent. And so restoreth is from that very root word. It means to return. He restoreth my soul. He returns my life to himself, to God. And in that verbal form, he restoreth, a verb, an action that he does in that verbal form. It implies intensity. It implies an ongoing and a continual activity of God bringing back our soul, our life, to a state of rest and a right relationship with him. So to restore is to return. It's to return into a right relationship with God. He restoreth, he returns me back to himself. We came from him. We're made for him. We're made in his image. Makes sense then that he's going to restore us and return us back to himself when we get off track, or when we lose the proper value and we get distracted and we make other things more important than he is in our life. So he restoreth. He causes us to return. And in doing so, he renews. He renews. That is, he totally renews. He continually and actively is refreshing our lives. He is healing our soul. He's bringing us back from our weariness, our brokenness, our lostness, our wandering, our spiritual drifting soul. He brings it back to wholeness. He brings it back to shalom. That's what wholeness is. He brings us back to where we belong, where we find peace. I also, along those lines, I was cross-referenced in my study to Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 21. Let me just read this for you. And here's what the prophet says. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. If you ever feel lost, this is for you. He restoreth my soul. He turns me and renews me, is what the prophet says. He brings you back to the place where your whole person, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you're replenished, you're renewed, you're constantly renewed, continually renewed. Your broken heart is healed. He restoreth my soul. He reverses spiritual decline and he brings you back from your spiritual wanderings. He restoreth my soul. Who? Who does the restoring? He, well, who is he? Well, in the first verse, the Lord is my what? He's my shepherd. So the Lord as our shepherd, us as his sheep of his flock, he is the one that restores our soul. The Lord. Now, if you're open to Psalm 23 and you note that second word, Lord, that refers to our shepherd who restores our soul is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's significant. There's many times that Lord appears in the scriptures and it's capital L and then small O R D. And that is a reference to the Hebrew name for God, Adonai. But the capital is a reference to the fact that here his name is Yahweh. And I don't even know if we're pronouncing that right. Often in English, it's pronounced Jehovah. But I think the Hebrew pronunciation would be Yahweh. There are no vowels in biblical Hebrew. There is only consonants. And there's four consonants. There is Yod, He, Vav, He. And from that, we get Yahweh. It's the most used name for God in the Hebrew Bible. It's used like 7,000 times. And the meaning of that word Lord is from the verb to be or the verb to become. God explained this name to Moses when he called him at the burning bush. And Moses asked, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he said, "Tell them I am that I am." Literally, "I will be what I will be," signifying that he exists and that he causes to be, that he is self-existent, that he is unchanging. He is Yahweh. He's not just a generic Elohim. There's a word in the Hebrew Bible that is often translated God, and it is the word Elohim. El is God, and Elohim is the plural of God. But Elohim is not just applied to the true and living God of the Bible. It's also applied to the sons of God or the divine council, the heavenly host. They're all Elohim. In other words, spiritual beings, disembodied spirits, are Elohim in the Bible. God is an Elohim, but no other Elohim is Yahweh. Okay, so that's the distinction. That's what's clear about this. And so this is who is the one who does the restoring. He is a personal, covenant-keeping God who is actively present with his people. He is Yahweh. He's the one who restores. He is the restored. Brother Ed, did you have a question or a comment?
I'm to take it that capital L-O-R-D refers to God the Father, right?
It refers to the whole triune Godhead, not just the Father, but the whole tri, because they're co-equal. They're co-equal. And so it would have to refer to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all are Yahweh, okay? They are three distinct persons, but one God. They are one in being. And three in person. Okay. Now, good question. So, the shepherd who is Yahweh, he is the restorer. You know, I don't know if you've been around sheep or studied sheep at all, but sheep don't return when they wander away. They don't return themselves back home. They don't work that way. Sheep do not do that. The shepherd has to go after a wandering sheep. And bring that. Normally, what they would do is when they realized that a sheep had wandered from the flock, they would go hunting that sheep. And when they found it, they would pick that sheep up and lay it across their shoulders and carry it back home to the fold to safely reintroduce it. Here's the picture. He restoreth my soul. Who? Yahweh, who is my shepherd. The shepherd replenishes your life with his eternal life, with his life-giving presence. And he does that through a personal connection that he gives us with him that we learn to deliberately choose to depend upon. He's the restorer. He restoreth my. Not only is he the restorer as the shepherd, but we're the responder. He's the restorer, but we're the responder. In other words, God does not give restoration automatically. Restoration, restoring your soul, is not inevitable. Just as sanctification, and I believe that restoration and sanctification are the same thing. It's another way of putting it. But it's not inevitable. It doesn't happen in every person's life unless they cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And so this restoring the soul doesn't happen automatically or inevitably. It can be hindered. You can hinder God restoring your soul by not relying upon him or by ignoring him. But it can be accelerated by a faith response to God when he does his convincing work in your heart based upon the word of God. For example, if you ever feel an anxiety attack, or you or are over anxious or are worried about some serious situation that you're facing, did you know that you can experience God's peace at that very moment in that situation by submitting it to him and by trusting him to enable you to work through it? And you can enjoy a God-given supernatural peace through the whole ordeal. If you believe that and you ask for it and by faith take it. So you're the responder. I don't know a whole lot about sheep. I remember one time we had a little mini farm when I was in junior high school. We had a whole bunch of chickens that laid eggs. We had a bunch of hogs. And I remember one time we had a couple of sheep. And we didn't have them very long, so I didn't learn a whole lot about sheep. But I've read about sheep because I understand that I'm one. And so are you if you're a believer. And he's the shepherd. And so it's interesting that to see how and why he chooses to call us sheep and himself the shepherd. Of course, David was and knew personally what he was talking about. But in shepherding, one of the perils, one of the dangers of raising sheep is that a sheep will do what they call a sheep will cast or be cast down. And what that means is a sheep is, they're helpless creatures. They will fall onto their back. And if a sheep falls on its back, it can't get up. It's stuck. It's just feet are just straight up in the air, 4 feet. They can't get off. They can't move. They call that cast. When a sheep is cast, it falls on its back. It can't get up on its own. It's helpless. It's upside down. And of course, it's vulnerable to not only panic and exhaustion, but to predators that would take advantage of that. Well, the shepherd, he notices that a sheep's missing. And so he listens for its cries and he rushes to it. And he doesn't rebuke the sheep. Instead, he gently picks it up. And he massages its limbs to restore circulation and then sets it back up on its feet. Here's the lesson. The Lord is my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. When souls are cast down, when souls are upside down due to whatever emotional pain or sin that you've allowed in your life or just plain exhaustion, God wants to and will gently intervene, and he will repair the damage, and he will bring you back to the place of spiritual strength. He restoreth my soul. I don't know if you ever watched the program. What's that program on PBS? Antiques? Antique Roadshow.
Yeah.
Antique Roadshow. You ever watch that? I kind of like that once in a while, just for change. But anyway, on Antique Roadshow, sometimes they have paintings.
And the people bring their paintings in and they evaluate them. They tell you all the facts about them. And then they tell you the price for it. Sometimes the prices are amazing. I mean, some painting that they got at a garage sale for a couple of bucks is worth tens of thousands of dollars. I've even seen them worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. But they're all underneath grime and dirt, and their value really isn't what it could be if that painting was cleaned up by a professional. And so you have to take an art conservator who will carefully remove the dirt and the grime and the varnish of the past, and he'll make that painting valuable, maybe even shine brighter than it did when it was first painted by the master. He'll make it better than before possible. This is what God does. He restores the soul. You see, the Bible says that if you're a child of God, and I don't know, but I think if I would ask every one of you singly, if you are a child of God, if you've been born again, you'd probably say yes. I don't know. That's what God's business. But if you're a child of God, you know what the Bible says? You're very special in God's book. You are singled out from everyone else. The Bible says that you are created in Christ Jesus. You are God's workmanship. And the word workmanship in that verse literally means masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece as a believer, which means these masterpieces get dirty. These masterpieces pick up a lot of grime and dirt and dust, and they need to be cleaned up. We have a master restorer, and he restores his masterpieces. God is that shepherd, and he restores our soul. He makes beautiful masterpieces. He can make it better sometimes than it was before. And so this is what it means when you hear that familiar and famous phrase in Psalm 23:3. Remember this: he restoreth my soul. What your soul is and what restore means, and who is the restorer?